today on the Word of Truth Revealed.
That's not how God designed His church to be. Everybody in this house, from the pulpit to the front door, from the back seat all the way to the front, has a right to the tree of life and can talk to God any day. Get it out of your mind, because sometimes we even hide behind preachers. You know you need to talk to God, and you'll ask me to pray for you, but you're not praying for yourself. You know you need God to move, but you don't cry out yourself.
Celebrating 30 years of ministry, you're listening to The Word of Truth Revealed with Bishop Merton L. Clark, author, speaker, and lead pastor of Truth Revealed International Ministries, a spirit-filled fellowship of believers located in Palm Bay, Florida.
Join Bishop Clark for the message, The Glory That Follows Gratitude. Today, Bishop will be teaching from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 7 through 10.
And the word of the Lord reads like this: For what was glorious had no glory. Now in this comparison with the surpassing glory. And if what was glorious or what was transitory came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts? I want to read that same verse in the King James version of the Bible. That is the King James verses 10 and 11. Read it with me. 1, 2, ready, read. For even by reason the glory that was in the past can't compare to the glory that is present, because the glory that is present excels. Now look at verse 11. 1, 2, ready, read. For if that which was done away was glorious, how much more that which remains? Paul here is very bold, and you're going to see in a moment, he's very bold to say the glory that was on Moses, that most church people go after today, which is the glory that shines on our faces. He's saying that the glory that remains lasts. That's the glory that comes through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I'm ministering today part two, a message entitled The Glory That Follows Gratitude. There is a glory that follows our thankful heart of what Jesus has already done for us, which glory excels the glory that Moses experienced. But all of the manna, the opening of the Red Sea, face shining, and all of that, the glory that's in you is greater than the glory that's on you. And I want you to get this: when you're grateful, you can expect the glory cloud to follow you. Amen. We're teaching a series called Cultivating Heart Light. How illuminated is your soul? Or do you still have chambers in it that's dark? We need to cultivate more oxygen and more light for the soul. And we will do that by preaching part two of this message, Glory That Follows Gratitude. Glow that follows gratitude. Father, thank you for this word, and I pray for a teaching mantle. And I thank you for listening here, a heart of receptivity, a mind of comprehension, a spirit that contain your word. And we give you praise for ear that is tuned in to what the Spirit would say to the church. Use me for your glory. We get the growth, you get the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Our confession of faith should be on the screen. One, two, ready, quote, this is my Bible. It is the word of God. It is God speaking to me, producing life in those who will hear it. I can do what it says I can do. I am all it says that I am. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I choose to agree with the word of God, and I choose to disagree with any thought, condition, or circumstance contrary to the written or the spoken word of God. I am diligent to act upon what is revealed to me through the word of God, which abides in my spirit. My heart is receptive. I can't quit. There's too much life in me. In Jesus' name, amen. Very grateful for you and your confession of faith. Also to those who worked with LCU on yesterday to make sure there was a glorious graduation here in the early morn. And I appreciate the labor of love and how you serviced our guests that were here. It's a testimony of the hospitality that is here. Brucia. Where's Brucia? Hey, Brucia, say something. All right, good. This is the hospitality person. This is the person that's going to be teaching us hospitality. So thank you, Brucia. I really appreciate all of the work that is done here. I'm very moved with the passage of scripture out of 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I read to you, for what was glorious, verse 10, had no glory in this respect or in comparison with the surpassing glory. And you read, I want you all to read 2 Corinthians 3, which talks about Moses and his ministration of death. Paul is very bold to say that laws, rules, and regulations or people that came into the kingdom only understanding do's and don'ts really is a ministration of death. For those of us that were taught that you either get right or you get left. Left alone. God is done with you. All of this kind of do's and don'ts that make us think we're righteous. Even if you followed the law of Moses to the T, it would make you righteous. I want you all to get that. It only points you to a Savior. You're supposed to cry out and say, how can we do this? Who can deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to the Lord, our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who delivered me from a system that was only a ministration, only there to show me how sinful I am, with no remedy to get me out of it. That's why we cry out for a Savior. Lord, save me. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden with laws, rules, and regulations, and even the burden of sin, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, my yoke, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What is he talking about? Trying to please God through laws and rules and regulations. We're not saying that the law is sinful. It is righteous, but it is not attainable for you to be able to complete without help. And the one who helps you is the Lord Jesus Christ, not a lamb, a bullock, or a goat, not a dove. Not their blood, but the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. Come on, I'm all in Hebrews right now. So I want to make sure you understand New Testament. The Old Testament is the picture. New Testament is the principle. My job is to make sure you have a balanced theology here so you understand who God is. For many of you came from churches and you're looking for me to rebuke people if their arms are out, rebuke them if they're wearing pants, because that's how you were taught. We should be decent and in order, but those rules and regulations don't make you righteous. Just to let you know, they don't make us righteous. We should have order in the church. No Daisy Dukes up in there. I don't know what they call them now. Then ain't none of that. That ain't happening. Well, I don't know what they call them now. I be hearing stuff like camel prints and stuff. I don't like all of that. That's what's happening out there. Now you laughing, but this is what your children are taking pictures of. And what I'm saying is, before you get mad at me, check your daughter. This is where they are. This is what they're doing. So what I'm saying now, I use the term Daisy Dukes. Now it's camel print. And you got to get your mind right. How do you let your kid go to school like that anyway? Where's the daddies? Where are the mamas? Boy, you all swimmed up, right? I can't believe that. You all, their music is telling them that. Open up your mind. God is trying to get something to you. It's worse than what you came through. Worse. So we're going to teach them laws. They're not going to obey those laws. We got to teach them the power of the Holy Ghost and what happened up in here. And when God touches you here at the altar, it changes your life. Paul is very strong. He says, for what was glorious had no glory in this respect of the surpassing glory that comes. Oh, my God. And then he goes on to verse 11. And if what was transitory came with glory, how much more, how much greater is the glory that excelleth or that lasts? I want to drop down now to verse 12. Therefore, since we have such hope, we are very bold. I want to go to that in verse 12 and verse 13 to the King James, and I'm coming back to the NIV. I want verse 12 and 13 in the King James. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. In other words, he said, what I'm about to say, I'm not cutting it. I'm not going to cut it and make it sound nice for you to embrace. That's how I'm moving right now. And that's why I say the things that I'm saying, because I'm using great plainness of speech so you won't have no ambiguity in your mind. We got to be bold with this one here because he's about to say something. Look at verse number 13. I want you to read it to me all together. One, two, ready, read. And not as Moses. Stop right there. For him to say to a church or to a group of people that followed the law of Moses, this could be a death sentence. But he writes to the church at Corinth and he says, and not as Moses. Read it. One, two, ready, read. And not as Moses. Come on. So this is how Moses talked to his people. This is how he had to preach, because when he would get in the presence of God, his face would shine and they would say, and be afraid of him. Paul said, that's not the kind of church we're developing now. Well, one man is so glorious and so powerful, his face shines, but he has to do this so you can stay in church. Put a veil over his face. Glory to God. And a lot of time, preachers and teachers want a veil over their face, glorying. I'm so powerful. I'm the 1 hour prophet. Whatever I say changes. And there's a veil. The people can't even get to where the preacher is. That's not how God designed his church to be. Everybody in this house, from the pulpit to the front door, from the back seat all the way to the front, has a right to the tree of life and can talk to God any day. Get it out of your mind, because sometimes we even hide behind preachers. You know you need to talk to God and you'll ask me to pray for you, but you're not praying for yourself. You know you need God to move, but you don't cry out yourself. Let's go back to the word, because I got to finish this. I got to give theology and then we'll finish the word. And not as Moses, come on, which put a veil over his face. They couldn't look into the end of that which is abolished. Go on, next verse. One, two, ready, read. Said he's so bold that the veil still remains when all you see is Old Testament. I want you to get this now. There's a veil that blocks you from prayer, that blocks you from intimacy, that blocks you from God. It's placed on you when you just read the Old Testament without the principle and the revelation of Jesus. Now I want to go back to verse 14. I'm sorry, I want to go back to verse 14, NIV. That's enough King James, but it talks plainly. It speaks plainly. So any of you that want to go back and talk about we need to get back to righteousness, you can't go back to righteousness by obeying a system or getting with a system that's fading. When you read the Old Testament, it puts a veil between God and his people. You got to talk about the new principle here. Look at verse 14. It is in the NIV. I'll read it in your hearing. For their minds are made dull. For to this day, the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed. That veil has not been removed because only in Christ is it taken away. So if you go back to that system, you know you got secret sins and you know it, right? You just have to start faking it till you make it. That veil still blocks us from intimacy. Because it can only be taken away in Christ. And when he rose from the dead, hallelujah, I'm sorry, when he died, the veil in the temple was rent from top to bottom. Now, Paul is very clear. This is so powerful for those of us that really study the Bible. For him to take it this way, for the revelation to flow right here. It's not preached around the country like it should, because it sets people free. And it sets them free to learn to love Jesus. Not to love your church doctrine or your church methods or what your church required you to do. Which are good to some degree, but traditions will choke out your relationship with God. What I'm trying to do is open up the tourniquet so the flow can come. Open up the tourniquet so the oxygen can come. Open up the tourniquet so you can be more grateful that glory will follow. Look at verse 15. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone trusts in the Lord, the veil is taken away. Say, the veil is taken away. Look at verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, you don't need veils hiding. You don't need to hang around a veil hiding your heart and hiding systems and hiding behind religious, because that makes you feel more righteous. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, ooh, God, there's liberty. Move your shoulders right now. Come on, move your shoulders. You don't have to be stiff in the church. Touch your neighbor and say, no more bondages. Come on, Kurt Franklin. There ain't no more shackles on my feet. No, now the Lord is my spirit, the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty or freedom. Verse 18, and we all, Scripture says, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory. Without a veil, not fear, we contemplate, think about the Lord's glory, are being transformed into the image. Hallelujah. Glory to Moses couldn't transform you into the image of his dear son. Colossians 1, he's delivered us from the power of darkness, translated us into a new kingdom, the kingdom of his dear son. The Bible says he's transformed us into the image which with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Now, if you ever caught this and really get the revelation of it, you'll be free with your attempts to please God by do's and don'ts, which you should. Don't do this or that, but put first things first. Take the veil away and start loving on Jesus. And when you start loving on him, there are things you will and will not do because of your love for him. Because he helps us to step into liberty. Now the Lord is that Spirit. What the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty like we experienced today. Glory, hallelujah. I want you to listen to the message from this morning. I need to cover new ground. Some of the scripture references that I gave is Philippians 4 and 8. Be thankful unto the Lord. In all things we should give thanks unto the Lord. Philippians 4 and 8. They'll flash it as I move. It's important for you to write that down. Glory to God. Very, very important for you if you're going to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Philippians 4 and 6. Philippians 4 and 6. Do not be anxious for nothing. You see, this is what we don't understand. Some of us, we live life as if when one bad thing happens, it plummets us. We're not in a healthy spot or space. No, this is life. If you read the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon said, everything that a man could desire to do, I experienced. I held nothing back. That's in romance. That's in vaping. That's in smoking. That's in traveling. That's in wandering, tripping in the mind. I did it all. I didn't hold anything back. And when I came back to myself, I realized it was all vanity. So you want to go out there and experience it all? I'm telling you right now, the conclusion of the whole matter is to fear God and to keep his commandment, for this is the whole duty of man. So go out and spend your life, if you want to, trying to find happiness there. And you're going to come to the conclusion it was all vanity. If you follow God, you'll have more money. If you follow God, you'll have tires on your car. If you follow God, you wouldn't have to worry about no bills. If you follow God, you wouldn't have the stuff that you're dealing with. If you follow God, wouldn't be a trail of blood behind you. If you follow God, you'd be able to praise. If you follow God, you have more money for retirement. If you follow God and paid your tithes, you won't have to worry about things breaking down as much. I'm preaching better than you're saying amen. Follow God's plan, because everything outside of it is all vanity. The conclusion of the whole matter is to fear God and to keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. You'll find your whole life coming back. You'll spend your whole life come back to that same word. You'll be old and sit breathing hard. Man, I should have let that reefer go. It took all my retirement. I should have let that Cavassier go. My liver ain't acting right. I should let all those women go. I ain't got no money. Man. Preaching better than you saying amen. Many believers don't understand it. They don't know how to ask God. They know how to ask God for things, but they don't know how to show any gratitude. Gratitude is not about what he did. It's about celebrating who he is. I gave an example this morning of a young girl. The mom works hard and buys her cell phone, an iPhone, $1,000 now. $1 trillion company. $1 trillion company, because they can already anticipate who's going to buy iPhones by the numbers they calculate. A mother buys the daughter an iPhone. Most children don't know how to show any gratitude today. They'll say thank you, and they say woo, and run in the room and start working with the phone. But gratitude would be, mama, thank you for my phone. I've always wanted one. But you've always provided for me. You've always been there for me. When I was growing up and it was hard for me to comprehend, you taught me with patience. When I was 13 and I had my first accident, you showed me how to protect myself. You told me what to do around boys and what not to do. Never sit on men's laps. You told me that I shouldn't take gifts from men, even in church. You taught me to don't be moved by flattery, because the ones that flatter you are after one thing ultimately. Don't be so weak. And I appreciate the iPhone, but you're my mother. We need to transfer that to God. Because as soon as he blesses us, we may say, thank you, Jesus. But Monday, we go on with the blessing. We don't want to talk to him and show him how grateful he is. It's not just about what you blessed me with, but you've been good all of my life. You're God. When I didn't have peace, you gave me peace. When I didn't know who I was, you gave me an identity. You lifted up a banner, hallelujah, in the midst of my community, and you say, she's mine. She's no more an orphan. You gave me righteousness when I didn't have it. You gave me a voice when they tried to silence me and make me a mascot. You turned things around for me. You opened up my mind to that which is good, and I've got to give you praise. When you add gratitude to the prayer, you shift things. Even the way God responds. And every time you're grateful, glory follows you. So let's practice right now. Clap your hands and say, thank you, Jesus. Come on, say it again. Thank you, Jesus. Say, Lord, I'm grateful. You've always been God in my life. Come on.
Oh, my God.
From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, you've been grateful. You've been good. And I'm grateful. I enter into your courts, your gates with thanksgiving, and into your courts with praise. I'm thankful unto God. And I bless his whole name.
Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you were blessed by today's message, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org. For a replay of today's message, The Glory That Follows Gratitude, visit the media section on the Truth Revealed app or our website at www.truthrevealed.org.
Registration is open for VBS 2026, The Joshua Generation, taking place on Monday, July 20th to Friday, July 24th for children in grades 2 through 6. Register and purchase your t-shirt through the TR mobile app or scan the QR code in the foyer. For more information, email vbs@truthrevealed.org. Don't miss this exciting week of faith, fun, and learning. Attention, new believers. Registration is open for the Believers Enrichment Spiritual Training Best Class. Sign up today using the TR app, website, or by scanning the QR code in the foyer. Classes will begin soon, so reserve your spot now. Email best@truthrevealed.org for more information.
Again, thank you for joining us and have a blessed day.